Today, my message I have titled, Get a Grip on It. Tell somebody next to you, I'm going to get a grip on it. Get a grip on it. Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 through 7 and verses 16 through 18. Let's read out loud together the Word of God. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. They answered Joshua, saying, All that you have commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Anyone who rebels against your command and does not obey your words in all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. Father, we ask your blessing on us now as we seek to understand what it means to be strong and courageous. Lord, I pray that you, by the divine aid of the Holy Spirit, would enable us to be able to get a grip on the things that you're inviting us to grip and hold on to. Lord, for those who have been loosening their grip, Lord, we pray for them to get a new grip today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And all of God's children say, amen. Amen. If you've received an email or a letter from me or any kind of correspondence from me in the last 6 to 8 months, you may have noticed that I conclude just about every single one of them by encouraging you to be strong and very courageous. Be strong and very courageous. It's been an amazing blessing to me to find out those who have responded back just how much those two exhortations have meant to them, whether it is a personal letter, whether it is a business letter, whether it's a stranger that has received that. I have had numerous people respond back to me locally as well as internationally how much it has meant to them to be reminded to be strong and courageous. I believe we're living in times that call for us to be strong and courageous. I believe that we have become under assault of the enemy of our soul, and it's going to require us to be strong and courageous. There are things that God has promised to us in the past. There are things that we have been striving for in the present. There are things that we're all looking forward to in the future, and we are sometimes being challenged to loosen our grip. Well, I believe that at the middle part of 2007, all the way through the end of 2007, God had spoken to my spirit and revealed to me or illumined to me or impressed upon me that 2008 is going to be a year of breakthrough. It is going to be a year of breakthrough for so many in so many ways of our lives. And for some of you, you have experienced some breakthroughs. You begin knocking on the door of your breakthrough. But some of you, you have been shoved away from it. You have been given resistance to it. And today, God wanted me to remind you to get a grip on it, to get a grip on the breakthrough that God has intended for you, to get a grip on the things that God has for you, and don't let go of it. Here on this day in the month of July, God wants you to enjoy the freedom that he sets you free for. He's wanting you not to go back into legalism. He's not wanting you to go back into witchcraft. He's not wanting you to go another day in bondage. He's wanting you to break through. And the only way that you're ever going to break through, and we talked about this on June the 1st, and I encourage you to go back and to revisit that, and I may even re-preach it again another time, is we talked about securing your breakthrough. And in that message, I reminded you that you will secure your breakthrough when you have a breakout that you desire. You want to break out somehow in some way from, and it's a desire that God's given you. It might be in a certain economic status that you're at, and God's given you a desire for something better. God's given you a taste of something more significant. And God's given you a dream of something far more superior than what you've ever had before. And don't let that desire go away. You've got to be willing to break out of your present circumstances, to break out of your present limitations, to break out of your settled for Christianity. And that's got to be a strong desire that you have in your heart. And once you have decided to have a breakout, then you're going to have a break-in. A break-in must be determined by you. You must determine, I'm going to break into the spiritual arena. I'm going to break into the intimacy factor. I'm going to break into the victory that God has for me. And I'm not going to stay defeated. I'm not going to stay discouraged. I'm not going to stay the way that I've been all of my life. God said there's something better for you, and it's going to be a year of release. It's going to be a year of restoration, and it's going to be coupled with a year of reward, because God said, all who will come to me, I will reward you. But you've got to come to me in faith. So how can I encourage you today to get a grip on it? God wants you to get a grip on His promise of a breakthrough for you. And there are three things that I want to share with you today that's going to help you determine to break in and to have a desire to break out. I believe that God wants us to get a grip on this breakthrough that He has for us, first of all, by believing God's promises. God wants us to believe His promises that He has made to us. The Bible teaches us, look in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 6, be strong and very courageous, because you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. God's wanting us to be strong and very courageous. That's what He told to Joshua, and that's what He's saying to you, and that's what He's saying to me today. I found a number of quotes about courage that I want to share with you today. I believe that it was General George Patton who said, courage is fear that said its prayers. Courage is fear that has said its prayers. Or I like the one also by Thomas Fuller. Thomas Fuller said that many would be cowards if they had enough courage. Or I think the one that impacts me the most, and I think that you'll identify with as well, was made by Billy Graham. When Billy Graham said, courage is contagious. When a brave man takes a stand, the spines of others are stiffened. And God told Joshua, upon the death of Moses, Moses is dead, and now you're going to be the one who takes this people to the land that I have promised them. But I need you, Joshua, to be strong, and I need you to be courageous. Now, God could have sent an angel to do this, but He didn't send an angel to do it. He called a man, a human being just like you and just like me. But every time God calls you to be courageous, and He calls me to be courageous, He said, I'm going to give you the power to do what I've called you to do. So you can take refuge in that by believing my promises. Now, what promise do you need to believe today that's going to help you get a grip on it? Now the words to be strong, we've talked about this in the past, is the word kazak. Go ahead and tell your neighbor, kazak. I am kazak today. I am strong today. When He tells him to kazak, it literally is a word that means to grab hold of. It means to get a grip on, to seize control of. And what God was telling Joshua to get a grip on were His promises made to him. I believe today that God has a husband here today that He's wanting you to get a grip on a promise that He's made to you. I believe also that there are some wives here today that you especially need to get a fresh grip on a promise that God has made to you about the kind of man that He's going to give to you and going to change your husband into. I believe God says, get a grip on it today by believing my promise that I have for you. There's some of you that are struggling, or perhaps many of us that are struggling economically and financially today. And man, you've got temptations, and you've got choices to make. And the world and your flesh is saying, well, if I don't do this, then I might have enough for that. But what God is saying is that if you'll bring to me your first fruits, then I will prosper you, and I will bless you, and I will rebuke the devourer for you. And today God is wanting you to get a grip on a promise he's made to you about your finances. There's some of you that's got a prodigal son or prodigal daughter out there, and God's wanting you to get a fresh grip today on a promise he's made to you about your children. Train up that child in the way that he or she should go, and when he or she is old, they'll not depart from what they have said to you, what they've been taught by you. That don't mean they won't go astray. That won't mean they won't go into to become a prodigal, but it means at some point in time in that, God is going to reel them back in. You've invested truth into them, and you need to understand and grab a hold of the promise today that no word of God is without power. No word of God will return unto him void, but every word of God will accomplish what it's been sent out to do. And man, every seed that's ever been sown in your life, every seed that's been sown in your children's life, every seed that's ever been sown in your spouse's life, you just thank God for that. And you grab a hold to it and say, God, I want to thank you that you've promised to prosper. You have promised to bless your word. You have promised to do these things. And I'm going to grab hold of it, and I'm not going to let go of it. That word, be courageous, is the word ametz, ametz. And it is the word that means whatever you have grabbed hold of, it means don't lose your grip on. When you are strong, you've got a grip on something. When you're strong, you've seized hold of something. And when you're courageous, according to what God said to Moses is, it means you're not going to loosen your grip. It means it's not going to slip through your fingers. It means it's not going to pass out of your control. So today, what is it that God's telling you to get a grip on? What is it that God wants you to take a fresh grip? It may have been that you've been losing your courage in the sense that it's been the promise has been slipping through your fingers. And the world's been trying to pry your fingers apart. And your flesh has been trying to say, you need to let go of that. It's been so long, it's not going to come to pass. It's not going to happen. It'll happen for somebody else. But what God is telling you today is be strong, get a grip, and you cinch up again, and you be courageous, and you don't let go of it. Be strong today. What is it in matter of your health and your healing that you need to get a grip on today? God has got plans for you. God has got provision for you. He's got power for you, and he's wanting you to start today by believing his promises. Can I get a witness today? God gave Joshua three promises in this context. And in this context, he also gave him three instructions to be strong and courageous with each and every single one of them. So be strong today and be courageous. But not only do you want to grab hold of it by believing God's promises, but you want to grab hold of it today by embracing God's principles. By embracing God's principles. In Joshua chapter 1 verse 7, he says, only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Now do not turn to the right or do not turn to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. Now there are some things that God has given you and he has given me a divine promise on. There are some things that God is as dogmatically specific about as the noonday sun is. But there are other things that God's going to speak to you out of a principle. Out of a principle. It may have been a promise that God gave in the Old Testament. But that doesn't mean that the promise is specifically for you, but the principle surrounding it is applicable to you. And that's what you can grasp, and what you say is, God says, I want you to embrace it. I want you to grab a big old hug on it. And he says, he's got something for your hands. He's got something for your hands to do. He wants your hands to get a grip on a promise that he's made to you. But he's got something for your heart too. He wants your heart to embrace the principles of God. Now what are we to do with the principles, the commandments that God has given to us? Well, there are three things that I want to just briefly give you that you can write down in the margin of your notes. The first thing that God wants us to do with His promises as well as His principles is He wants us to talk about them. He wants us to talk about them. He said that in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7. He says, "You shall teach them diligently to your sons and talk of them whenever you sit in your house and whenever you walk by the way and whenever you lie down and whenever you rise up." Now, did that miss any time in your life there? Whenever you're walking, I want you talking about it. Whenever you're sitting, I want you talking about it. Whenever you're eating, I want you talking about it. Whenever you're sleeping, I want you to talk about it. And whenever you get up, the first thing I want you to do is I want you to talk about it. That's one of the things that we have lost in this generation, is the seeding down principle of the Word of God on our generation. Some of you can still remember the days when you would have two-week revival meetings and three-week revival meetings, and hundreds and hundreds of people would get saved. Why? What's the difference today? We can't even have revival meetings. But even when we do have meetings, we very scarcely have hundreds and hundreds of people saved like we used to do. Well, here's what I know to be true. I know the Word of God has not lost its power. I know the Spirit of God has not stopped His ministry of drawing people to understand that they are sinners by nature and by choice, that Jesus is the only way to heaven. And if they do not come to Jesus Christ, there's a judgment that's already waiting on them. I know those things are still the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. But the difference is we no longer seed down the generation with the Word of God like we used to. I mean, it used to be mamas and daddies seeded down the generation, their children, with the Word of God. Grandmamas and granddaddies seeded down the generation with the Word of God. I remember the day where the only seeds that ever found on this old boy's soul was in the public school. The public school used to seed me down with the Word of God. The only Bible that I ever memorized came from my history teacher, and my English teacher made me memorize the 23rd Psalm. You think that would go over today? What in effect we've done is we've quit seeding down the generations. Now today, with 50% of the marriages ending divorce, mamas and daddies' times are divided and loyal, and what time they do have together, they don't have the time or take the time to seed down their children with the Word of God. There are a lot of churches that don't seed down the Word of God. They have a social gospel. They have a prosperity gospel. They have any other kinds of gospel, but they don't have the good news gospel, and they don't seed down the children with the Word of God any longer. And so we've got a generation walking around that knows not the Word of God. We don't talk about it anymore. Not only do we need to talk about the principles of God, but we also need to teach them. We need to teach them. We need to talk about it, and we need to teach it. We need to teach it and think about it. The Bible says in the book of Psalms that His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law, He meditates day and night. We talk about it, and we need to think about it. The psalmist said in Psalm 1:2, "Oh, how I love Your law. It is my meditation all the day." And that's why it's even harder and harder for us to witness to people in a natural conversational way, because we think we've got to think up or memorize some kind of a program. But if we are talking about the Word of God and we're thinking about the Word of God, then it's so natural just to say to whoever you meet, "Let me tell you what I was just thinking about." And you share with them the law of God, the promises of God, the principles of God, and man, how they can apply to their lives as well. But the best thing that we can do for these principles as we embrace them is not only talk about it and think about it, but we need to obey it. That's one of the things that the world's grown disgusted with, is Christians that talk about something they don't do. And we've got to quit living a double standard. We've got to purpose in our hearts and our lives that we're going to obey everything that we understand the Word of God says we should do. We learn from our study in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 22, but we are to be doers of the word and not hearers only. In Ezra chapter 7, verse 10, it says, "For Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to practice it and to teach his statutes and ordinances forever." You see, God's commandments, his promises, and his principles are divine enablements. When you learn what God has promised, when you learn what God has established in his word and you set out to obey it, you'll find there's supernatural power that goes along with it. How about for Luke chapter 1, verse 37, when Mary was being approached about something that was without her ability to make happen? When the angel Gabriel came and said, "I'm looking for a virgin." And she said, "Well, I'm a virgin. I'm looking for a virgin who have a child." "Well, I'd like to have a child. But I'm looking for a virgin who would have a child supernaturally without knowing a man." "I'm looking for that kind of a child. I'm looking for that kind of a virgin. I'm looking for that kind of a home." And Mary said, "How can that be since it didn't happen that way?" And the angel says, "With man, that's impossible. But with God, all things are possible." God can do the impossible. And we've lost that belief system in our generation today. We don't believe that God can do what we've read that he could do in the Word of God. We don't believe that he can do the supernatural. We don't believe that he can do the impossible. We don't believe that he can sell a house. He can sell a car. He can do anything that needs to be done. He can do those things. We need to believe his promise, and we need to get a grip on it. We need to embrace his principles as well. We don't believe God can change a heart. We don't believe that God can change a life. We don't believe that God can break a stronghold. But that's why God said it's time to get a grip on it. Believe my promises and embrace my principles. Number three, not only will you get a grip on it by believing God's promises and embracing his principles, but we'll get a grip on it by cherishing his presence. By cherishing his presence in our lives. I want you to notice what it says in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous?" Get a grip on it. Didn't I tell you to get a grip on it, Joshua? Didn't I tell you not to let go of it? I want you to do that, Joshua. "Do not tremble or do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is" what? "Wherever you" what? Oh, my goodness. My goodness. Man, when you read the Gospel of Matthew, it opens with Emmanuel. God is with us. When you read the end of Matthew, it closes by Jesus saying, "And lo, I am with you always." The writer to the Hebrews in chapter 13, 5, quotes Joshua chapter 1, verse 5, and he applies it to us today by saying, "I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you." Get a grip on it today, he says. It doesn't matter what kind of sin you go into, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. It doesn't matter what kind of mountain you have to climb, I'll go with you and I'll never leave you or forsake you. It doesn't matter to me how dark and deep your valley is, I'll go with you into the valley and I'll never leave you or forsake you. Get a grip on it today, church, he said. Believe my promises, embrace my principles, and cherish my presence. There are times when you've got to acknowledge God's presence by faith because you can't see him and you can't feel him. But he is there. He's made you that promise. There's those times when the night time, when the dark time, when the rebellious time, when the lonely time says he's nowhere around, he's left you, he's abandoned you, he's forsaken you. That's when you got to get a grip on it. And that's when you got to be courageous and not let go of it. Because God has said to you, "I'll never leave you. It doesn't matter where you go. I'm with you forevermore, saith the Lord." Today, God wants you to believe him. Today, God wants you to embrace him. Today, God wants you to cherish him. What I have learned to do and what I recommend for you to do is when you're the loneliest, you just throw a party. And I promise you, Jesus will show up. Whenever you're the saddest, when whatever it's the most difficult for you, what I want you to do is get a grip on it, and you just stand up in the midst of your valley and you just salute the presence of God. If the devil tells you, what are you doing? Then me and God's having a party today here, and you're not welcome. Whenever he tries to lie to you and tell you that you've blown it, and you can never go back again, and you can never make things well again, and you can never be whole again, you just stand up and you call him a dirty dog-faced liar that he is and say, as for me, I got a grip on it, and I've got a promise from God. I've got a principle from God, and I've got his presence with me. When you mature in grace and when you grow in mercy, you don't have to see him to believe him. You don't have to feel him to know that he's there, because you know by faith he is there. God, who cannot lie, will never leave you or forsake you. Can I get a witness today? Well, I'm going to give you a chance to get a grip on it today. We've got the Lord's table prepared over here. I want you to get a grip on a promise, and I want you and Jesus to have communion. I believe God wants you to get a grip today on a principle that you need to apply to your life, whether it's for your college, whether it's for your marriage, whether it's for your business. And I want you to purpose in your heart to obey everything you know to do, and I want you to get a fresh grip today on the promise of God or a principle of God. But today you might be the loneliest person in Stone Mountain. You might be the one who you hadn't felt God, you haven't sensed God, you haven't heard from God in so long. But you know there's been a time and a place when you've repented of your sins and you placed your faith in Jesus. I want you to come, and when you get that bread, I want you to get a grip on it. And when you get that juice, I want you to get a grip on it. And I want you and God to have communion today. But I believe with all of my heart that God has drawn somebody here today, and you don't have a personal relationship with God. You've got a religion, but you don't have a relationship with God. And today, God wants you to get a grip on it. And he wants you to come to grasp with the fact that you're a sinner. Your sin has separated you from God. But right now, he says that if you will call unto me, I will come unto you. Today, I want you to get a grip on a personal relationship with God. I want to tell you, this old world is so nasty. This old world is too hard to go through with just a religion. You need a personal relationship with the Creator himself. God will live inside of you. He will have communion with you. He will love you when nobody else will love you. He will encourage you when nobody else will encourage you. He will stay with you when nobody else will stay with you. I want you to get a grip on it today. You say, Pastor, I've had a grip on it, but I'm losing my grip. Well, I want you to be courageous then. And I want you to re-strengthen that grip of grace. You come with whatever strength you've got and say, God, I'm losing it, I'm losing it, I'm losing it. And what you'll know by faith is that the hands of omnipotence will wrap around your hands. Sit here, let me help you hold on to that. And you'll grab hold of that promise from God. You'll walk victoriously through that with that principle. And today, by faith, you'll salute the presence of God in your life, in your marriage, in your mess, in your business, in your school, in your sickness, in your problems, in your valley. And you say, God, I don't have much of a grip, but I hear you got a pretty good one. Cinch it up real good. And today you and I are going to have communion. I want to tell you the presence of God is here today. And when you grab that juice, you say thank you for your presence today. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And you take that presence of God into you internally. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you don't have part of me, he says. Today, in a symbolic way, you get to take the bread, you get to take the juice, and you get to eat and drink the body and the blood of Jesus. And he'll be with you all over again. If you've never been saved, if you've never given your heart to Jesus, but you'd like to, come to see me. Come right down here. Take that walk. Take that personal walk. And say, I'd like to have a personal relationship with God. I'll lead you through it very simply. If you've got a personal relationship with God, but you've never been scripturally baptized, and you'd like to be scripturally baptized, and you intend to the first chance you get, you come and tell me, I'm ready to be scripturally baptized. I'm going to obey the principle of God. You do that. After I've prayed, the table is set. And we're ready for you to come to the table of the Lord. We're ready for you to come and get a grip on your breakthrough. You're going to believe God's promises. You're going to embrace His principle, or you're going to cherish His presence. Father, thank You for the command for us to be strong and very courageous. Lord, I'm praying for real communion to take place today between us and You. Lord, thank You for Your promises. Now, Lord, I know that somebody needs to sense Your presence that hasn't sensed it in a long time. And Lord, by the communion they're going to have with You, they're going to get a grip on Your presence today. They're going to tighten up the cinch and the grip they have on Your presence today. And they're going to walk by faith with it. In Jesus' glorious name, we pray. Amen.